on the vendor side. So some of that revenue got into 2020 and propped up 2020 versus this point in time in 2019. So that's a timing item there. And then you can see Wildwood and East 55th, and we already addressed the East 55th perspective where we will catch up. It's just backfilling those slips where some folks chose not to renew.
When is the Emerald Necklace restaurant going to open? Can you go back to that slide for a second?
This weekend, Commissioner Moore.
Yes, okay. Memorial Day weekend, this weekend coming up.
And then the East 55th, same thing?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Merwin's will remain closed. Beach House will open. Pier Concessions will open. So those will be the locations that will be open.
Thank you.
Okay, then moving on to some of the other locations, like Brian just mentioned, you can see here the predominance of these locations remain closed. And obviously, with nothing going on downtown, parking is not performing to the level that it was last year as expected. So downtown's a ghost town. And that is the overview. I do want to mention one other thing. We have our audit finalized and our CAFR finalized. There was a new component required by the state this year for that audit, and there are some testing procedures that needed to be done on public records and open meeting transparency. I'm happy to report that our team did a remarkable job. They got the highest rating of 4 out of 4 stars on those tests from the independent auditors. 7 of 8 best practices were met by Cleveland Metro Parks. So we're at the top of the class, if you will, in terms of our public records requests and transparency procedures. So well done to Rose and her team.
Bill, can I ask a general question here? Relative to other park systems in the United States, how are we stacking up with the pandemic going on?
So when you say relative to other park districts in the United States, there is, from a data-driven standpoint, candidly, I don't have a lot of data in terms of where their financials are coming in. But I will say from a preparation and an execution standpoint, when we talk to some of our peers, we seem to be functioning very well right now relative to a lot of people don't know what to do, frankly, and they're not really sure how to get things going. And we've seen that really in all of their operations. We've seen other zoos not on their game to the degree that we are in terms of alternatives and how to handle expected opening times. We've seen other golf courses that did not remain open or were not prepared. We've seen other lakes and water facilities that also were kind of in a standstill, absent any guidance, and were not prepared. So I feel like operationally, what we're seeing is our team has done a great job staying well-versed in the daily changes that are coming from the governor's office. Rose and Brian are in constant contact with City of Cleveland Health Department as well as the governor and lieutenant governor's office. So they're doing a remarkable job daily giving updates to the team, and we're adjusting our operational protocols as frequently. We have operational protocols for all of our locations specific to how we operate when people do come into facilities should they need to. Our people, that is, not public. So from an execution perspective, we're doing very well. I think financially, both from the audit perspective and from our current funding perspective, we're doing as well as we can. We are conservative right now in our spend, so we're preserving as much capital as possible. We're also going to talk about, in one of the action items coming up, what we're looking at from a liquidity perspective and perhaps other sources of capital to prepare for what really we've got limited visibility on, and that is the long-term effect of this on property taxes. That's the big crystal ball that no one seems to have any clarity around, including Cuyahoga County. The budget office over there really is giving us no direction despite repeated requests about what they're anticipating from any kind of a delay or delinquency perspective.
I bet we'll find that we are better managed than other park systems. And I think that would be a nice thing to begin to gather some data on, when we begin to have to crow about how well we're running the place.
I agree, Commissioner Moore. I think you're absolutely right about that. And we will try to gather as much data as we can that supports that from a financial perspective and from an operations perspective.
And I was just going to ask, you mentioned other parks and zoos across the state. Are other zoos looking to open as well? I mean, I really appreciate what we're doing to be creative with the drive-through. Has anyone else or something similar?
The answer is no. Our zoo and the team have laid out a very thoughtful process by which to, I would say, temporarily manage this event, Cruise the Zoo concept. And, you know, we're working forward on all the protocols that we've put into play. It should kick off this morning at 10 o'clock. Again, this is a drive-through only. The amenities are Spartan. You're using the restrooms out in the park, parking lot. And once you're in the zoo, you're staying in your vehicle. So we're doing everything to keep the general public safe. Say again? The pathway you enter by the Plava Hut, you take a right towards the new rhino exhibit. You go all the way out past the hospital. There'll be some concessions along the way. There'll be docents along the way, volunteers along the way. You'll go out to the northern trek area. You'll do a loop around by the pinnipeds. You'll go towards the bears. You'll go by the grottos. Then you'll go in by the wolf wilderness. You'll be able to see Roseboro tiger. You'll be able to see Asian highlands. And you'll continue down to see the giraffe. You'll take a left down Giraffe Hill, take a right through that adventure area. Then you'll go past the elephant area, up through African Safari, and then you'll exit the road at Wildlife Way there.
Did you follow all that?
I'm just thinking, you know,
Luke. Yeah, this is a very unique opportunity.
Sounds fantastic.
It's really creative.
What a great way to do it. That's wonderful.
And I think, Commissioner, to your point on how we're running, I sit on a national committee and two statewide committees setting up, and I can tell you we're leading every one of these in the fashions that we possibly can to keep things either open, moved, or our employees and our customers safe. And it's a really interesting changing dynamic based on information, and we continue to adapt, and we continue to persevere through this. And it is Memorial Day weekend coming up, so we'll be ready to the best of our ability, and we hope that all of our customers have patience. There will be, you know, parks will be very busy, and the mantra is, you know, crowded parks lead to closed parks. We won't have choices in certain areas but to close certain areas because of overcrowding. So we're working through all of those things with our police force and our operations team.
What if any grant opportunities are out there, you know,
Well, I can tell you there are some. It is few and far between from a park district perspective. There are some for the police to be reimbursed. The Penn High Pilsner partnership is actually designed to give money back to our staff to actually help, you know, with the cleaning of carts and the activities and education. But we continue to scour those as they become available.
One question, Brian, on the there's been a lot of talk about sort of stoking up these programs, sort of like the CCC and the WPA. Is there any movement on that with the federal funding, pandemic funding?
I can tell you we have asked those questions. The challenge we have, though, Commissioner, is that the distancing and the work conditions of putting large groups together like they would have been done during those eras still is not something that's permissible. So we're going to have to work through what does that actually look like. There has been very little guidance. Most people are in the process of closing and retooling for the year, but we look forward towards, you know, some potential of this work. But right now it's not permissible to put, you know, larger groups together. We're trying to restart our volunteer program at this point in time in a very metered approach, but nothing's quite that easy.
And how about the shovel ready projects? Does it look like, I guess it's getting pretty tight in Washington now. Not as much is going to flow as we thought.
I think stay tuned to the build grant. Sean will be giving us an update on the team's work that we got support from Senator Brown, Senator Portman, and a host of others, and NOACA. But so you'll get to see it replaced the Tiger grant process. And so, yeah, it's called build. So you'll see that in the action item midway through the agenda today.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I guess new business?
New business. The very first action item we have is the 2020 budget adjustment number 4.
Thank you, Brian. 2020 budget adjustment number four is for $818,602, the majority of which is for transfers and predominantly a new CZS grant for $800,000 for the primate exhibit design. So that is the funding that makes up the majority of this request. An explanation in detail of the adjustments by category can be found on pages 39 to 40. The recommended action is that the Board of Park Commissioners approve the 2020 budget adjustment number four for a total increase of $818,602 as delineated on pages 39 to 40.
Move the motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is the authorization to enter into a short-term financing agreement providing access to emergency funds. This is something that Bill and I have taken very seriously in bringing to the Board of Park Commissioners, the opportunity to secure up to $25 million in short-term note financing at current market rates. Our plan is not to use this funding if we do not need to. However, depending on, as Bill said during the financial report, whether it's property tax collections, whether it's earned revenue, or whether it's reimbursements for grants, if those happen to be delayed, we want to be able to have the flexibility to be able to meet our obligations along the way. So Bill has worked with PNC to secure a $25 million short-term note financing. Bill, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, this is just for the opportunity to work through. I mean, we are not at the point of a term sheet, so it is just a verbal discussion about what we feel would be our limits. It would be something that could be backed by future revenues from a collateral perspective. And we're looking at it, Brian mentioned it, with the delay in the homestead rollback, with the extension of due date for property taxes pushed out to August 13th from July 20th. With utilities, even though we're trying to save money with utilities, our utilities providers have diminished staff, so they're working on an estimated basis right now. So that could be 3 to 5 months before we get the credit for what our actuals are on a reduced basis since they're on estimated, and then for the longer-term effect. So the idea is to have access to put a vehicle in place once we finalize those terms, but the rough discussion has been up to $25 million and secured by future tax revenues. So we're looking for permission.
We're talking about we would actually incur the debt money.
We would incur the debt. We can do it in one of two ways. We can do it by line of credit or by what's considered an escrow account with immediate drawdown. So either one would be a short-term 12-month note, and it would be at current market rates, which right now would be roughly 3.35 to 3.5%. Plus or minus, but without the term sheet, I don't have more specifics than that right now. But broadly speaking, it would straddle the year. We would show that instrument as of year end.
Can we invest that money?
We can, because we can draw it down immediately. The challenge is finding an investment that's got a better return on it than the interest rate. We can offset some of that interest rate. We can probably get, right now, the STAR funds, they've actually dropped below 2% as well. So let's just say we could offset 50% of it roughly to mitigate that, but at least it's something.
Again, Commissioner, I think the point is that we are trying to make sure we have enough tools in our toolbox as we're going through this. It is not something we've taken lightly. Only once in our history we believe that, you know, we've had to go to this measure. These are extraordinary times, but we want to make sure that we're able to meet our obligations. And it's really about cash management at this point in time. It's being able to manage the last years of the levy as funds are coming in or become available. We just want to be able to have this tool available to us if needed.
Commissioner Moore, any questions?
No questions. Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
The next action item is the authorization for Cleveland Metro Parks Police Department to enter into intergovernmental cooperative mutual aid agreements. This is a continuation of work. We will continue to bring these forward as we continue to get these in the shared and safe, secure environment through the different cities. This one's for Bedford, Berea, Euclid, Garfield, Middleburg Heights, and North Olmsted and South Euclid. Recommended action falls in the top portion of page 11, just to enter into the mutual aid agreements.
Just a question, do these come up every year with every city, or how long do we enter into these?
They continue on.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, we just didn't have, there was a number of them. Yep, each one of them kind of handled it just a little bit differently, but Chief Dolan has worked very hard at building relationships with all of them. So just based on all of the things that we've got going on, we think this is a very solid move based on.
I agree.
But we had had one earlier in the year, correct?
With other, yeah, this is like
It's like the third iteration of it, yeah. Our goal is to get, you know, all of the municipalities that we own land in to have mutual aid so it works beneficially both ways. We've been cooperating with all these municipalities anyway, but there was never really any formal agreement.
Move the motion.
All in favor?
The next is the adoption of the revised Cleveland Metro Parks codified rules and regulations. Rose?
Thank you, Brian. So this is our annual update to our regulations. And first and foremost, we have the updates that are required pursuant to the changes that happened in Ohio law, which we need to reflect in our local law so that there is consistency. And then next, the additional changes that we are moving forward. First and foremost, just a nomenclature change. Since we moved from ranger to police officer, we'll need to make that change throughout our code. Secondly, in 37373.08, with the increased usage of our APTs and the increased modalities of transportation that are out there, we thought it prudent to regulate all of the modes of transportation, whether it's the hoverboards or the unicycle, so that they come into conformance with a careful operation. So we have broadened the definition to regulate all of those modes of transport, and we've purposely not been specific because it seems like every year there's a new innovative mode. So all of those modes of transportation that are used have to operate within these guidelines. Otherwise, now the police officers are empowered to cite reckless operation of those modalities. Next, we also are enhancing the section 351.03 to specifically make sure folks know that if they do not pull and pay for the boat grant launch facility fee, they also and will be given a parking ticket, which can be left on their vehicle. So this aids in the enforcement of our boat grant launch fee without the physical presence of the police officers to serve to hand citation, and by moving it into our parking section. Next, in 525.01, with some of the challenges that we are facing and not knowing some of the regulations we may be enforcing specifically in the context of our COVID-19 crisis, and because the directives from the state of Ohio continue to develop and change, we thought that using this section, which allows our police officers to give an order, this allows us some flexibility to craft an order from the chief of police. For instance, if we need more specific direction regarding our beaches, we would be able to craft an order from the chief of police to give direction to our folks on how to conduct themselves without adopting a specific ordinance or regulation that spoke to a very fact-specific situation of, you know, that is occurring at this time. What we've done here, though, is we're reducing the penalty of the violation of a chief's order. Initially, as the existing language would be, the first violation of the chief's order would be an M1, a misdemeanor in the first degree, which is a $1,000 fine, right? And we thought that that was way too harsh of a penalty. So you see here the lesser penalty, which brings it down to the minor misdemeanor. But if the person continues to, you know, resist and after the warning, then you see that we can upgrade it. A subsequent separate violation would then be the M1. So we've tried to carefully and be a very reasonably approach an enforcement mechanism here. Without being heavy-handed, but yet empowering our police officers to have the right tools to get that enforcement that they need.
So can I ask a question? I mean, this is essentially resisting an arrest, correct?
We have a separate charge for resisting arrest or disorderly.
Okay.
So actually this...
That's what you're told to do something
specific. Right, right. Yes. And it'll not one of the regulations specifically fits the pattern. Uh-huh. We were able to develop a very specific order by the chief of police and to give direction.
Okay.
So we use this in a limited capacity when none of the other regulations really fit squarely.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Rose, what are the sanctions that come out of a minor misdemeanor?
A $100 fine and no jail time.
Okay, thank you. And then is there a sanction below that, less severe than that, or is that the?
That's the least penalty we can offer.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to offer hard labor, Commissioner Moore, where you have to swing a hammer for eight hours a day.
There's your W.
All right, and then just quickly moving on, Section 541.12. We did not previously have a ticket resale restriction. Given some of the popularity of some of our programming, we did see an attempt last year of some entrepreneurs to attempt to purchase and then resell some of tickets to our events. So we have shored up that to allow us to enforce that section. Eliminating section 743.06 is merely a cleanup from our changes of last year. We did eliminate the requirement for a permit for rock climbing, rappelling, and slacklining in the permit section. However, we missed eliminating it in 743.06. So that is merely a cleanup, not a policy change. We made the policy change last year. And then finally in 745.03, we just, again, this is more of a language change to more appropriately address our drones, the unmanned aircraft systems. Just to make it more specific, you see we struck out more than 4.4. We had some question regarding, well, what if it was exactly only 4.4? So we addressed that in very specific detail with that language. We will see there have been some changes to the FAA regulations, which we are updating our internal policies to reflect those changes, but not necessary to include in our code. And then finally, in all of the provisions in 747, we see that our team, legal team, Priscilla, has worked closely with our marketing team and Greg to go through our permitting section and make some of these changes, which we have had some questions come up, and we've been able to more accurately address some of these scenarios. So again, not any major changes here, more of just from lessons learned where we needed some more specificity, but then we did add in the section which deals with the process for more specifically with if we need to revoke a permit, if they are not complying with the application details that they had included, how does that revocation, termination, or suspension happen? And we provided the due process provisions in there. So those contain all of the regulations which we are doing. We will post as required according to the revised code, and then they will become effective on June 18th.
Can I ask a question regarding the permitting of an event that crosses our Metro Park? If someone has a sort of a social media deal where they say, meet at some place in the Metro Park, and we'll ride our bikes or hike or that sort of thing to a certain point. Is that are we regulating that as well? I guess we are, aren't we?
No,
Commissioner. What we have done is we have tried to be very reasonable with when the permit is required. So that fact scenario that you just described, as I'm understanding it, it's a meetup to ride with some folks. No, that would not fall within our definition of when a permit is required. We have an activity or event involving 50 or more individuals, and so we've carefully crafted the permit process so so that we still are allowing our First Amendment activities within the case law that is out there. But as you described, and as I understand that fact scenario, that does not sound like it would require a permit.
I see. I get it. Thank you.
Yes.
Recommended action falls on the bottom portion of page 18 to adopt the revised Cleveland Metro Parks rules and regs.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
The next one is the adoption of the revised policy. This is something that needs to be reviewed every 5 years. This is the designated areas for no swimming or body contact. There are no substantive changes. It is just merely something that we have to do every so many years. Recommended action falls in the mid portion of page 19.
So moved.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next one is the modification of deed restrictions. This is the 21,000 Brook Park Landlord LLC. I can tell you this project has been going on since 2013, so seven plus years. We have worked not only with, I would say, the new owners, but the City of Fairview Park, former Mayor Patton, and now current Mayor Cooney, who has sent a letter of support, as well as other state and local officials relative to the rezoning of this. This, again, is one of those very, very unique ones. This was a federal property for a number of years, again, known as the K and L buildings. Our team has worked very hard at trying to understand their development or their proposed redevelopment strategy. They have secured additional property. There's deed restrictions that were recorded with the City of Cleveland dating back to 1938. Essentially, what we have done is we've created a continued buffer along the property. We've also allowed to make sure that they have views of, you know, what is known as the Rocker, the Valley. So our resolution is basically, again, listed in the mid portion of page 21 of the agenda. But we believe we've come up with the best possible resolution relative to this current status. Rose, anything you'd like to add?
No, Brandon, I think you summarized it very good. And, you know, again, as you look at these restriction applications, we're always concerned about the public good, and we feel that the preservation of the additional green space and along with the support and request by Fairview Park, that has met our public good requirements.
Can we describe the process where they have to vet certain plans by plantings, for example, stormwater? Just kind of give us an illustration of that.
Yeah, I think this whole entire process relative to, you know, the existing no build area went from 0.8 to 2.0, a little bit more than 2 acres, but it also ensures lighting, signage, planting, stormwater controls for the redevelopment were reviewed and approved by us in a park-like setting.
And by the way, I think for the record, we should indicate both of those buildings were constructed within that 300-foot setback area.
Yeah.
So we're working with something that structurally predated, is not informal.
Correct. So we've come out with the best possible outcome to allow for some redevelopment strategy as well as preserving as much of the buffer and in some areas increasing it.
So an example that I'm going to, when they go in, they have to get certain permits from the City of Fairview Park. How do we coordinate the permitting process where we have the responsibility or the right privilege, as long as we're not being unreasonable, in looking at a landscape plan, planting materials that are non-invasive species? So we're looking at stormwater plans. Those are typically vetted through the engineering and building department for the municipality. What's our mechanical way of ensuring we're privy to that process that when developer or whoever the contractor is going to get to pull the permit, there's a system that we get flagged and we're going to be in real time looking at that same documentation to make sure it's done.
Yeah, we'll be working with the City of Fairview Park to make sure that we're in lockstep with all of the submittals that will go forward.
That right hand left hand could be real simple and it could be a problem.
Recommended action falls with a lot of work from staff, and I commend Kyle and Stephanie and Isaac. Who was here. This is in a very extensive file that we work through in the mid portion of page 22 to approve the modifications.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next action item is the authorization to modify the grant agreement and commit match funds. This is the expanded survey through the beech leaf disease. This is made possible as part of the Tree Health Survey app in collaboration with Kent State. Through the Metro Parks efforts will include in facilitating the beech leaf disease surveys for presence of the beech leaf disease using the Tree Health Survey. We will continue this program with a grant, existing grant agreement with the USDA Forest Service in the amount of $55,000. Through the Metro Parks will commit the $55,000 for a total of $110,000 and a revised project budget of $378,000. Recommended action falls on the mid portion of page 23.
Move the motion.
All in favor?
Aye. The next is the authorization to accept grant funds and enter into a grant agreement. This is through the NOPEC. This is an Energized Communities grant program. We did receive funding previously in previous years, 2018 and 2019. This is a continuation of that. This is in the amount of $326,466. This is part of the project where we're greening the city of Cleveland, where we'll continue to plant and maintain trees inside of the city of Cleveland. So this is an authorization to enter into the grant program and authorize the acceptance of grant funds in the amount of $326,466.
This is no funding of ours.
Correct. It's all outside funding. Top portion of page 24 for the recommended action.
Move the motion.
All in favor?
Aye. The next action item is the authorization to accept a grant and a grant application and commit Cleveland Metro Parks funds. This is through the Ohio Department of Natural Resources Parks and Watercraft Marine Patrol Assistance Grant. This is something that the team was able to secure. Funds will be able to purchase a lower unit for the boat's engine, the necessary tools to install it, as well as some dry suits for the officer. This grant amount is coming in at $15,602. This allows us, if the engine needs to be replaced with a lower unit, that we have one on the shelf that can be replaced very, very quickly. They have done a great job keeping vehicles safe, transporting disabled vehicles, as well as vessel stops and search and rescue operations. The recommended action falls in the mid portion of page 24. My computer froze. To enter into the resolution to accept the grant from ODNR in the amount of $15,602.
Move the motion. Move the motion.
It's just a question on what really is our role on the water relative to ports and harbors and coast guards?
Yeah, so we're probably one of the few left actually out there now with a lot of budget cuts, but our Marine Patrol. Essentially, we've got an interagency agreement with Rocky River where we help pay for one of the original boats. My gosh, probably the RMC was 2018, so it's probably 2014. So we have a partnership with the boat that comes out of Rocky River for that side. And then this portion is really Edgewater to East 55th all the way out to Euclid. And so we're part of the Marine Patrol Safety. We're normally trying to stay on the lake versus coming into the Cuyahoga River in particular, although we do enter those in specific times and entry points. But the sheriff still have a boat, I believe, and so does ODNR. So again, we're one of the patrolling agencies to help keep boats and vessels safe.
Over the years, we don't have any enforcement.
Oh yeah, absolutely, we do. Yeah, we can write tickets, we can do vessel checks, safety checks, tows, and search and rescue, and they're normally one of the boats that's in early and out late.
Mm-hmm. And the Coast Guard too, correct? They're still...
Oh yeah, Coast Guard is, you know, they're the top, and then we're kind of below them.
So we have motion.
Second.
I had one question first. What about the Cleveland Police Department? Do they still have a police boat?
I am not aware of the status of the Cleveland police boat. I don't believe it's in the water, but I don't know that for a fact.
I wonder if there might be a way. I think they still have a place where they keep their boat right near Lakeside Yacht Club, sort of in that area where the airport sort of juts out, and there's a sort of a small passageway that lets the lakeside boats out. I'm wondering if there'd be some way to get revenue from them, and so they could discontinue their boat. I think they still have a boat. I remember at one point there were four ways you could get a ticket on the Cleveland lakefront, the Coast Guard, ODNR, the Cleveland Police Department, and I guess the other one was the county. I think I've got that right. It seems like a little bit of overlap. I think there's still.
We can look into it, Commissioner Moore, but I don't believe that they have funding for it anymore. But we can ask.
Very good. Thank you.
We have your vote.
Yeah. So moved. Move the motion.
We already did that.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. Very good suggestion. The next is the amended authorization to submit an application to the Department of Transportation, better utilizing investments to leverage development, otherwise known as Tiger Grant. I said it was otherwise known as the Tiger Grant. So this one has come forward. Previously known, yeah. Yes, maybe it's formally known as Prince. The Commissioner Moore laughed for a minute. Oh, goodness. My glasses are fogging up. I'm laughing so hard. a little levity is good. So this project, the amended project description, our team has been working to revise the build project details. They have been working with the Solon. I put those two together. Solon to Chagrin Falls Trail. This 2.4-mile section of 10 feet wide all-purpose trail will be constructed in the city of Solon and the village of Bentleyville. We have secured letters for both of those. This will continue through to Bainbridge Township in the village of Chagrin Falls. This is to help secure the connection out into Geauga. Again, this is also part of the South Chagrin Connector Trail. This 1.9-mile trail will extend from the eastern construction terminus of the Solon to Chagrin Falls Trail and bring it into the main portion of the South Chagrin Reservation to the All-Purpose Trail and Hawthorne Valley Parkway. Total federal building fund request is $7.5 million, as the majority of the rural project and no local match requirement. However, the $798,000 in local match will be providing from the city of Solon, the previous awarded funds, including the Clean Ohio Trails and the State Capital Community Parks and Recreation Conservation Project, made available in the 132nd General Assembly. The Metro Parks is looking for the amended authorization to submit the grant for the build project to the federal government. The recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 26.
That's a question. Geauga Park. Go ahead.
What was that question again?
Well, I was wondering for Geauga Parks, do they have a role in this as part of the?
They actually don't as particular to this, but we have had conversations with them about some of their most recent improvements on their western edge of their county.
Do they do an attaboy with this application, or is there no role for them?
Not yet. It's the complexity of this to secure and I would say funnel it down into the what I would call a buildable project through the build grants is extremely tough. And to Commissioner Moore's point, this is one of those shovel-ready opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
We give credit to the city of Solon for moving forward, the village of Bentleyville, and a host of others along the way to secure all of the support for this particular opportunity.
Do you have a sense of timing? When is the application due and when it's due?
The application was actually due, today is Wednesday. I think it was due over the weekend or Monday morning.
Monday.
Yes.
So no idea where we would make any determination.
I do not know. Unless Sean or Sarah may know the date. I don't know that I don't know it.
It is by September 15th.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. The recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 26.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is the award of RFQ 6482 Gorilla Primate Rainforest Edition. This is something that we did a request for qualifications back in January of 2020. It seems so long ago. But the proposed exhibit builds on the strengths of the rainforest, which showcases more than 10,000 plants, 600 plus animals. They have gone through an extensive process looking at 7 responses from qualified individuals. They ranked 4. We are down to the final one to recommend Van Auken Aikens groups with WDM. They have done a number of work, including Rosebrook Tiger Passage, Asian Highlands. They really understand how Clutha Metro Park works and is able to deliver a high quality product. So we were looking at the funding coming from the Cleveland Zoological Society, which is what we very much appreciate the strong and continued partnership with. These are not Cleveland Metro Parks funds. This is something that we were able to secure through the Cleveland Zoological Society. Again, the recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 29 to enter into the professional services agreement for the design and reconstruction of the Gorilla Primate Rainforest Edition.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the tabulation of award and bids. We have 2. We have various cranes 6505 and bid number 6507, 2000 asphalt parking lot improvements, Big Creek, Hinkley, Lakefront, and Rocky River reservations. The bids came in absolutely fantastic. So we are awarding all and the ad alternate to clean up a lot of our parking lots.
Nice.
Recommend action falls on the top portion of page 30.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Vouchers and payroll.
The following vouchers have been reviewed as to legality of expenditure and conformity with the Ohio Revised Code in a total amount of $7,177,444.05. And the recommended action is that the Board of Park Commissioners approves this resolution number 20-05-070 as listed above.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do we have any public comments?
We are expecting public comments. I will check in the chat. Marty has texted in that she would like to give a public comment. I will attempt to unmute her. And Marty, you should be ready to go. I'm not sure if she was able to dial in successfully.
We'll give her a few minutes.
Okay. You've been unmuted on both connections.
Does she know how to unmute?
I'm not entirely sure.
It's the left, it's the
Marty, if you can hear us. You're a go.
You mentioned that you might not have a microphone and she's going to try to call in. I have unmuted Marty and muted the call-in user number 8, but we're not getting any audio from her. So I think at your discretion, you may proceed.
Well, let's give her a minute. Let her know.
Okay.
Well, there she is.
Hello?
Yes.
We can hear you.
You're here.
Okay. It took a lot of tries and a different phone number. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you're all staying well in these trying times. Two issues of great importance even now. One about the past, one about the future. Dismantling the memorial to the Rocky River murder victims reflects badly on Cleveland Metro Parks. The families had raised a great deal of reward money. They had kept up the flowers and signage and obviously continue to hope for someone to respond. Eliminating their tribute even before the first anniversary destroys any chance of finally connecting with a witness. Correctly or not, it also appears that the park has given up and just wants to move on. Perhaps more shocking is that Cleveland Metro Parks may need to borrow money. Yes, these are extreme times, but you should have been prepared for extreme times. I have frequently raised concerns about the rapid depletion of reserves and the incredible amount of undertaking pricing new projects and purchases. At the beginning of the levy cycle, 2020 expenditures were estimated at $111 million. Combined with the grants expected this year, that would come to $129 million. $40 million short of the $169 million total shown today. Can't blame all that on the pandemic. hopefully the audit committee addressed this. You have often bragged about how the park has been debt-free for all these years. Now you may resort to what prior boards managed to avoid. Don't be too sure the public will be willing to pick up the slack. They cherish these natural areas, but going forward, there'll be less money to spare. Thank you and stay well.
Thank you.
If I could just state, relative to the securing of an obligation or debt, again, it's worth reiterating, this is precautionary and I think it's pretty common knowledge that you try to seek capital funding and liquidity when you don't need it as opposed to when you do. It's very difficult to get from a timing perspective and from an accessibility perspective when it's already at that position or state from a financial perspective. We are seeking it while our balance sheet remains stable, and we are seeking it out of prudence and the ability to use, not the commitment to use. So to put this in the context of it being from a spending issue or from some less than financial stewardship from the level that we're used to of public funds is not an accurate statement.
Thank you. Information briefing.
Anyone else with it?
And no questions in chat or
here.
I'm sorry, I thought that was
the new protocol. All right, we will move into one briefing item, Bogg Village Downtown Connector Trail Project. This has been a project that we've actually been working with the City of Cleveland on all the way back to, a number of years ago. I can think of, our want and ability to connect with the Morgana Run Trail. This is a trail connection that would provide 3.7 miles worth of all-purpose trail. And Sean, are you ready to go? Sean and Sarah?
Yes. Can you bring up the presentation?
Yep, we can see it.
That's a different one. We need
the village one. We need to get to the info item. That's the build grant. That's all right. That's the build grant. Sarah, just go ahead and start.
Okay. So the PowerPoint, as you remember from the last meeting, I started the presentation and didn't quite get through it, so I'm going to start from the beginning again. But the Slavic Village Downtown Connector, as Brian said, is a project that City of Cleveland is leading. They've had it in planning since the late 2010 time period. And
hi, Sarah.
Hi. I'm not going to look at that screen. I'm going to look at my screen. I'm sorry we don't have the presentation up to show you. Dave, it is in the presentation folder for last month as well, if you want to try to pull it up. But the Slavic Village Downtown Connector, we are very interested in this project, obviously, because it provides a link into downtown from the Slavic Village area, but it also provides a link into Washington Reservation and onto the towpath trail as well. And this project is phased in a couple of sections, the first being a portion going from Washington Reservation up to Pershing. And from Pershing up to Broadway, there was a section that was completed by ODOT as part of one of the Interbelt contract groups. And as part of that, they built the trail section in that area. It looks like maybe we're starting to get. Yeah.
There we
okay.
go.
And this one, no, this map wasn't replaced, sorry. It's the salmon colored trail and it is the section that's complete. You can see there that's part of the ODOT contract group. We are looking at specifically the southern piece from that lower black bar down to Washington Reservation is the part that we're most interested in the short term. The City of Cleveland is going to be putting out preliminary engineering RFP for this project in the near term. City Council had approved it back in February to look at doing the design for the section, the first phase of that project from the that black bar up to where the section complete is. And we have, in the meantime, secured some funding through private foundations for the Third Federal Funds Foundation to work on some design for the piece from Washington Reservation up to that first black bar. Now, the project that we're looking at is irregardless of the City of Cleveland project. It helps complement it, but should something not go forward with the City of Cleveland project, we will have that connection that takes you up to the Shard Avenue pedestrian bridge. So you'd have a linkage from Washington Reservation to the Shard Avenue pedestrian bridge, which then continues up on East 49th Street and connects you to the Morgana Run Trail. So that provides a link to the Morgana Run Trail that you can see and have that fuchsia color, purple fuchsia color on the map. And the Morgana Run Trail is somewhat orphaned right now, and so this provides a link back into the neighborhood and then would continue along our existing trail to get you down to towpath, to the towpath through Ohio and Erie Canal. But the City of Cleveland project, they are awaiting some studies from the ODOT. ODOT has a project in play right now for widening of 77 through that area, including some retaining walls and drainage work. And so the City of Cleveland has the authorization to go ahead with preliminary engineering for that piece, awaiting results of the alternatives evaluation report from the I-77 ODOT project. So that's why we're in a little bit of a holding pattern with that. The results are expected by the end of summer from that study. And as part of that, the ODOT project would be potentially layered on with a funding obligation that NOAACA has for construction for that first leg of the Slavic Village Downtown Connector Trail. So again, as I mentioned, we are interested in moving forward on that lower section, going from Washington up to that Shard Avenue pedestrian bridge. It would link into the section of the trail that City of Cleveland will build. As part of that award, they do have $1.5 million from NOAACA in TAP funding, the Transportation Alternatives Program funding. And then we have also met with the City of Cleveland, actually had a very cramped ride along in a minivan with the Commissioner of Streets with City of Cleveland and their bike ped planning planner over there, and looked at the alternative for the section going from the Broadway where the ODOT piece is connected up into downtown. We've got some ideas there for doing some on-road or slightly off-road connections there, doing more of a side path in that area, which might be a little bit more feasible than the original plans that came through with the studies that were done as part of the TLCI about a decade ago. So this is just have an update to the group that this is an important trail that we're interested in, and it is a complement to the towpath on the west side of the river. This would provide similar types of access and opportunity for the east side neighborhoods and provide that connection ultimately into downtown, as well as the link back to the towpath trail.
Excellent update, Sarah.
Thank you.
That does conclude the information briefing items. Before Rose goes, I would like to just again thank the commissioners and the staff, and the staff is to be commended. I mean, we have gone through and you know, I think to highlight Marty's point, I mean, we have been fiscally responsible in our 103 years, and we will continue to maintain that. Again, we are looking at all the tools in the toolbox that we need to work forward during this you know, very interesting and challenging time. But the staff has continued to exemplify our core values to the highest degree, doing jobs that they never imagined doing. Karen's been out at Big Met washing golf cars, and we've had people at all different locations. We've got Teamsters out in the park taking care of things. And so I really want to heartfelt, you know, on the record, thanking the staff and again, all of our thousands and thousands of visitors that are coming to the park as well. We appreciate being that respite. It is challenging. The park is going to look very different than it has before. We do not have our seasonal complement that we've had before. We don't have some of our operations that are open before, and we're working to balance all of the things that continue to come forward. You'll see in our, cash run, hundreds of reimbursements for events that aren't going to happen in the park this year, closing of ledge pool, closing of swimming areas throughout the park. So it's going to be a very dramatic and very different year, but we're going to continue to work through it as a team, and we appreciate the support of the commissioners and being able to continue to bring forward a high quality product.
We appreciate all that you've done.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to thank my staff regarding the announcement that Bill made regarding the receipt of the highest award in the STAR program for our public records program. We achieved the highest level, and it takes a lot of work. I specifically want to thank Priscilla Ropa, who heads up our public records program for us. Barb Lucas, before she transitioned over to our police department, was instrumental in that program. And also Brittany Taylor, who stepped up to help us until our new staff member, Dana Epple, came on board. And all staff, I educate all new staff in the onboarding session when they are first hired regarding the importance of public records, the compliance with timely meeting those obligations and getting the records to us so we can get them to the public. So I just feel like all of that hard work is finally acknowledged again by the auditor's office with the highest ranking. So again, thank you to all of the hard work of the staff in making that happen.
Congratulations.
That is the end of this regularly scheduled meeting. The next regularly scheduled meeting is Thursday, June 18th.
Have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. Stay safe. Happy Memorial Day.
Thank you.